Public service. Public service. Public service. Public service.
Podcasting.
Hey guys, welcome back. First bonus episode.
Love a bonus. Brucey bonus.
This is Jamwar. I kind of thought, okay, we're going to do a guest. We need to find someone who's a little bit out of the box, not the generic kind of guest that you'd find on other podcasts. And I'm a technical guy. I thought the artwork looked great. I looked into the artist who is Jamwar. He's done stuff for Spotnik, the EP. People Always Need Coal.
Nightmail.
Gagarin, Everest, Nightmail. You know, we could go for hours looking into all the artwork. He's got really cool, interesting kind of bow, straight lines theme to his artwork. So I reached out to him on Instagram and thought, what a great guy.
There's clearly a great working relationship with him and Public Service Broadcasting.
Yeah, it was nice, wasn't it, to kind of hear his side of the story. And, you know, I kind of always thought, oh, a band has paid for an artist to do a job and that's it. But it kind of feels to me like Jamwar was like the sixth member of the band. He's so involved with the artwork.
They're such a visual and audio band that like the artwork is an essential part of building that music and the stories that they're telling.
Well, let's dive into it. Time to introduce our first very special guest, Jamwar.
Public service podcasting.
Hi, I'm Jamie, aka Jamwar, and I'm responsible for artwork such as Go, Sputnik, Everest, and Inform, Educate, Entertain.
I guess the first thing is, like, how did you get involved with the band Public Service Broadcasting?
Well, it's like a lot of things in my career. It's kind of partially me making a slight effort and then being very lucky. I think it was not long after I'd just decided to go full-time freelance. I'd just chosen voluntary redundancy from a job, decided to really give it a go. And I was just sat there at my laptop going, don't know what to do, actually. But I was listening to Six Music, and I think it was Radcliffe and McConey, and they played London Can Take It. And in this case, I was like, I'm going to work with these guys. And it's because I've never heard of them before. And I thought, you know, chances are it's more likely that I'm going to get to work with people who are quite new. And it was the first song I'd heard that like really inspired me to do something like that. So I immediately fired off an email, and as luck would have it, they responded and were, you know, quite receptive to it. I've actually just been back and looked at the initial email that I sent and the stuff that I sent as an example of what I can do, and it's in no way relevant. It was a real shot in the dark. I was like, obviously, I was coming out of a real geeky period where all I dreamed was like sci-fi stuff, and this was like a project that really sort of grounded me. I think the first thing I did was Everest. And it was just like an exercise in minimalism, that kind of thing. And right from the start, like the working relationship was just so easy and so collaborative and so laid back. It was a joy right from the start.
They are like super responsive. Like, you know, we've been in touch with Jay and she's been like, oh, we want to do this thing. Is that cool? And he's like, yeah, no worries. Like, I think they really enable people, which is cool.
Absolutely. And it turns out that's not always the case because I don't know if this is egotistical or what, but I was only emailing people that I liked and thought, you know, I don't want to fake enthusiasm for a band or whatever that I don't want to work with. So I only, if I liked the music and I liked what they were doing, I was like, yeah. And a lot of them came back and they were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then never followed up. PSB did. And I think that just kind of shows that they are, you know, decent people.
So if you got in touch with them then, do they then get back to you with a brief on like Everest being the first thing? Do they get in touch and go, oh, well, we've got this song. Do you fancy designing something for that?
Yeah, it was a case of actually good timing. And, you know, we looked at your stuff and we think that maybe you've got the right approach for what we might need here. I think they were trying to go, probably as a marked difference from the cover of The War Room, which was, you know, obviously photographic and it's more like indicative of what the backdrop might be later, that kind of thing. And I think they wanted to sort of take a little bit of a left turn from that and do something a bit more abstract, I guess. And that's always been my thing, is just as few lines as you can to kind of get the thing across. It just happened to be right place, right time, and right email, I guess.
So you've done a range of album covers, EP covers, and posters. And I was interested to know if your approach in the design changed when you knew what the brief was going to be, you know, blown up to an A2 poster or as small as a 7-inch EP, that kind of thing.
it doesn't really change the approach. Sometimes you've got to bear in mind, as with anything, I suppose, nowadays, the nature of sort of marketing and making things work for like thumbnail sizes inside Spotify, but also A2 or A0 or whatever out on a 4-sheet or something like that. You kind of got to work with the idea that this might need to be adaptable into different formats, different dimensions, different aspect ratios, that kind of thing. So I always kind of do like a little test to make sure that if something can only work as a square, then I'm like, maybe think about what it might look like with like a taller aspect ratio or something like that. And you've also got to consider maybe there needs to be a little bit of negative space if they want to put tour dates over the top of it. So it's all stuff I'm bearing in mind. And I think that probably is partially why my style kind of worked in those ways, because even if there's a few bits of artistic detail where there's going to be some text overlaid, it's not busy. It's quite, you know, it's like maybe two different colours in with a divide across them, and you can still read the text over the top of it. So yeah, it's kind of part of the fun as well. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily work. Sometimes I haven't considered every angle, and it'll come back and it'll be like, oh, we need to be a web banner. So it's like, okay, well, in that case, let's think of how we can maybe zoom in on it, or we could pull back on it, or we could remove certain elements. And so with like with my kind of work, you can turn off certain parts of it and just keep certain shapes intact, and you know, just kind of like pick and choose which parts you want to keep. So I think the vector style is, which is what I've traditionally worked in. I haven't done it for a while now. That was probably the most adaptable version. It was quite fun to do it on the fly.
With Inform, Educate, Entertain, how was that first mooted to you as a project, as a design concept, and where did the three colours come from and the unusual shapes?
Jay's got like a very visual sense of how he wants things to relate to the music, I think. And originally, I think his brief was use like sort of pastel colours. And I took it very kind of literally and just went with very sort of muted like greens and purples and whatever. And he was like, actually, maybe something along like CMYK, which we then later changed to like the RGB concept. And then from then it became this whole thing of, well, if red, green and blue together are like the three components of like the TV, and I thought if they kind of converge and together the ultimate result is white. So originally I'd been thinking of it as black and I got that wrong. But then when I realized it was white, I was like, okay, so white space in the middle, these three shapes, which are red, green and blue, assigned to one of the words each, and then have them sort of intersect. And then in the middle, we'll have the dish. So it all kind of like refined over time. There's a few other concepts, one of which the back cover was actually one of the original ideas for the front cover. And we were just like, well, it works as well, but it's not the strongest visual. So there's things that change. It's been 10 years. There's things that change now. But I think the way it came about in the end, and the way it was refined, and the colours were, you know, sort of exactly where they needed to be and stuff, I'm still very proud of it.
That's amazing to hear. I mean, that was my next question, really, was how does it feel looking back 10 years on when you walk past a record shop, when you see one of your posters, when you're flicking through Spotify and you see a piece of your work kind of fly past based on all the stuff that you've done? What does that feel like?
It feels weird, honestly, because for the last 7 years, I've just been working in animation and barely touched like kind of design and illustration at all, really. So it almost like, oh yeah, it's a reminder that I used to do that all the time, and maybe sometime, you know, I'll get the urge to go back to it if I can find the time. So it's a little shot of adrenaline sometimes, a little shot of dopamine, I guess.
Is there anyone that stands out in terms of a band that you'd like to work with, or is there even past or future, is there like an artist where you're like, oh, I wish I'd got to design work for that album?
Oh man, there was a few inquiries I made that didn't go anywhere, or kind of fizzled out, or there was one was on the guest list for a gig and I completely forgot to show up, and I think that might have ended that relationship. There was a few. I've tried to get Thundercat. I've tried to get Caribou was a big one. I quite liked Caribou's got like interesting sort of design based artwork. Overall, if I could have designed any, it would have been the cover to Wonky by Orbital, because it's got that sort of minimalist, just such a gorgeous shape.
It's so interesting because you're talking about how you're attracted to the visual aesthetic of these bands, but with PSB, it was a case of hearing the music first.
Is it always that way around? Is it kind of you hear the sound first and go, oh God, I want to make visuals for that? Or can it sometimes be the other way around? You see an existing aesthetic and think, I could work with that and put my own take on it.
I kind of hear someone's music and immediately know how I would draw that. Sometimes I hear something, I'm like, oh, symmetrical. Sometimes I hear it and it's like, oh, chaotic. That needs to have overprint of like pink neon lighting, that kind of thing. I just kind of hear these things. And it's, I think that's its own thing, isn't it? That's there's a word for that. Is it synesthesia or something like that? So I get the urge to make a visual based on audio. And I guess it's the same thing where I dabble in like writing as well. I'm always like writing ideas for like TV or film or something like that. And I've always got a soundtrack with it because I can picture the scene a lot better when I've got music alongside it.
Yeah, I think it is synesthesia where you associate colours and imagery with words, numbers, letters. I get that. But I then look at Nathan, who's a fantastic...
This blows my mind. This absolutely blows my mind.
I can smell sound.
Oh my God.
Genuinely. Don't know what the word is for that.
But yeah, when you hear something and you get that sense of smell and...
Totally. But it's only through association. So when I hear Moody Blues, I can smell the varnish of the table that the family turntable sat on when I was three. I just, it triggers those nerve endings again. It's like a memory of a smell. So it has to be connected up and associated. I don't just hear a sine wave and think, oh, orange. So you kind of led us on to the next question, which was, aside from art and graphic design and the stuff that you're doing now, you're also podcaster, radio host. So you're a multi-platform artist. Tell us about what you're doing at the moment.
I think the technical term is ADHD.
Aren't we all, hun?
So the podcasting, it came about, I think a lot of podcasts did during lockdown, where me and my friend Gavin, we used to just go to the cinema all the time and like just go to the pub afterwards and talk about the film or whatever. And we've not been able to do that for a while. So we kind of wanted to do something like that. We started watching a few films. I'm sure this is nothing special. A lot of people did just watching films online. And then that was it, really. And then after a while, I was like, maybe we could make something out of this. We'd always wanted to do a podcast together anyway. And he's a big Arnold Schwarzenegger fan, and I like some of them. And despite it being my idea, it's kind of crazy now because he remarked quite a few times during the series, he's like, why did you want to do this show? Because you don't like half of this stuff. But it was more of an excuse just to chat with my mate about films, really. And, you know, there's a definite end to it. You know, there's 37, I think, starring roles for Arnold. And once they're over, that's the end. And we're on 33 next, so...
Could you see yourself going back to doing more graphic design album artwork, or are you just sort of letting that one sit for a while?
I never really intended to stop. It was just a case of after a while doing 8 hours of artwork for my day job, because it used to be a thing that I did. Well, originally it was like I was doing it freelance full time, then eventually ended up doing it kind of part time while I was doing non-creative work. So it was like a thing I had to get out of me. And now I've got this creative day job, so sometimes it's hard to still want to be creative afterwards. And I've had to say no to PSB in the last few years, and it's not been nice. I've not enjoyed it. And then there's like the technical side of it as well now, where I've had to move from Manchester, where I was for 17 years, and now I'm in Ireland for a year. So I couldn't bring all my stuff. I've not got like all my art programs, and I've not got the setup I used to have. But one day I'd love to get back to it. I feel the urge to kind of, I don't want to go back exactly how I was doing the same kind of style. I probably still want to develop a little bit more, but it's a different, even in the last 10 years, I think the industry's changed so much. You still have more of a kind of an idea of where things might go, but right now you're staring down the barrel of like AI, and I know bands quite often are having to really improvise to be able to make a success of their careers now, and it's kind of hard going. And quite frankly, I don't know what the market's like for visual work on album covers and stuff now. I'm guessing it's probably there's less of it, but maybe we're all in it together, so maybe everyone kind of holds on to the people that they have a good working relationship with.
I also wanted to know, which is the one that you feel that kind of, I wish that was mine, in terms of album covers? Which is the one you see and you think, God, I wish that was the one I'd made? Because we've all got that one song, haven't we, where it's like, God, I wish I'd written that.
Oh, again, probably Wonky. It's so good. Or anything that's just purely design-based. Like, I do like photograph kind of based stuff as well, but for me, it's all about the simplicity. So something like that. Or I quite like, I can't remember the album name, but it's the Mac DeMarco Yellow It's the one we started using synths. It's like a yellow with like a hand-drawn pattern. It's really nice.
Is it This Old Dog?
That's the one, yes. I don't know if it's exactly the as good as I'm remembering it, but in my mind's eye, it was like this lovely piece of lo-fi scribbly, but also quite simplistic and symmetrical and minimalist in a way.
I wanted to ask about like the t-shirt commission. So you were commissioned to do a set of t-shirts along with Army of Cats and Luke Drodds. Can you tell us about that project?
That was another example of Jay and the band just being like gentlemen, like being the absolute like legends that they are, because it was at the point of COVID where everyone was starting to worry about lost income and like freelancers were just have nothing on the horizon. And it was just their way of giving back. I mean, I say giving back, it's not like we were ever doing the work for free anyway, you know, but like I say, it's the working relationship thing. You know, they take care of the people who are in their circle. And for us, it was just a, look, we know that people's incomes aren't doing so well right now. So how about we do this and we'll split the money between you and the printers? I was in the position where I was kind of fortunate enough to still be kind of like furloughed on my actual job. And initially I was like, look, I think I'm all right. But it's all tenuous. You never know. It could have been like redundancy did happen very shortly afterwards. But so I was like, well, I feel like, you know, maybe I shouldn't be part of this. And they were like, you're a freelancer. We're helping you out. It's like, thank you very much. I'll tell you what it also did was it gave me something to do, which was absolutely crucial in the summer of 2020. Like, I was going stir crazy because I was living on my own. I hadn't seen anybody except for on Zoom or the supermarket for so long. And it just gave me something to do other than play Grand Theft Auto 5 again. Honestly, to be in the company of Army of Cats and Luke Dross is just amazing. Like, those guys really know what they're doing. And I had to kind of step it up a little bit.
What a gift that is from the band in terms of, like you said, a paycheck for freelancers, but also a project. Like, that's really generous and gorgeous.
Which album of PSB's discography that you've been involved with are you most proud of?
I mean, it'd be silly if I didn't say IEE, because I was involved in all of the elements of that visually. But I also feel like I probably started doing more diverse versions of my work during the Race for Space. I used 3D for the Sputnik Korolev EP, and then I sort of like started using like textures and different kinds of stuff and integrating. I used a lot of like Soviet imagery, obviously for Gagarin, but also for some of the tour posters and t-shirts. There was the t-shirts with Statue of Liberty and the cosmonauts kind of thing. So I think in terms of my actual work, I think probably Race for Space, but like in my heart, it's going to be IEE.
Favorite PSB album to listen to?
Ooh, it might be the Brixton Live album.
Oh, interesting. Why so?
I saw them quite a lot live in the early days, and then for whatever reason, just never got the chance to see them after maybe Every Valley. And again, I wasn't at this gig, but it was like a reminder of like why I love to go and see them live. Plus, I know what the crowd's like, and I know what the atmosphere's like when certain songs kick in. So it's just, I get that almost like vicarious feeling of being in the crowd.
I haven't seen PSB live for about a year and a half, and I watched the DVD. It's been so long. I needed that as a kind of interim top up until the next gig. Have you watched the DVD or?
No, I haven't. I've got the vinyl, and I'm not sure I've ever realised there was a DVD. Hang on, I probably designed it.
And it's a really, so the DVD comes in a tiny little cardboard slip, and it's really, really pretty. And I've had the double LP for forever and had no idea that it's just hidden in one of the sides of the gatefold.
Yeah, no, I did know it and I did design it. I can't believe I haven't watched it yet. That's crazy. It's probably because I haven't had a DVD player since then. So that's a big part of it.
Thank you so much for your time, dude. I'm absolutely starstruck, to be honest. Where can people see, hear and interact with what you're doing? What are your latest projects at the moment?
If you go to Pod Action Hero on Instagram and Letterboxd, or, you know, just look up Podcast Action Hero for the Arnold podcast that we do. I've not really got anything on a personal level, but if you look up Lighthouse Studios, an Irish-based animation studio, there's a feature film I'm working on, which I think has been announced. I'm just not saying what it is, just in case.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much for your time.
No problem. Thanks very much for having me.
And best of luck with everything.
Lovely to chat to you, Jamie.
Thanks for everything, man. Take it easy.
Thanks a lot. See you later. Bye.
Thanks so much to Jamwar for going through all of his artwork and designs with us. We love chatting to him. Keep an eye out for any future bonus episodes. We will be bringing more to you.
And remember, this podcast was brought to you by Craig Ward, Nathan Stewart and James Brown. And you can keep ahead of all our bonus material plus insights into what we're planning next by giving us a follow on Instagram at Public Service Podcasting. And if you enjoyed this episode of the pod, then show us some love by giving us a 5-star rating in whatever app you're using to listen. And of course, make sure to hit that subscribe button as well. We'll see you all soon for the Race for Space.
Public Service Podcasting.
Our first interview.